Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Miss something? The podcast is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now.
All right, thank you, Danny. Jeff Meller, J.R. Strauss, hoodie and I back 7 a.m. tomorrow. And thank you, Keyshawn Johnson. Crosstalk is brought to you by Club Hawthorne Off-Track Betting Bars. From Hoffman Estates to Crestwood, from Chicago to Aurora, Hawthorne has more than a dozen OTBs that put you close to the action every day.
Carmen Yurko. Bop, 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 bop.
What's up, fellas?
You're doing a French-Canadian accent over there, man.
Hey, you think I can do the French-Canadian accent? Let me ask you a question, Carmen DeFalco.
Let me ask you.
Why are you so pissy?
So pissy there, eh? I'm not.
Every time I ask you a question.
Eh?
Why are you so pissy?
Sounds to me like the reporter's the one that's a little pissy is the one.
Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. Yes, I am. No, I'm not.
Drysdale's German. I don't know what kind of accent Drysdale has.
Boy, can he play.
Phenomenal. That team, I don't understand them. Nobody wants to care about the Edmonton Oilers.
That's why he's pissy, because the Edmonton Oilers have lost six in a row.
I mean, those two players together, they can't get out of their own way. Like, go figure that. I mean, they're like the two best players in the league, and the team stinks.
Why are you so pissy, Leon?
It's awesome.
I'm not.
They go after each other in Canada.
Yes, you are. Every time I ask you a question.
You lose six in a row in Edmonton with those two players? That's like us ripping the Bears for their ineptitude. That's what that is.
Well, it's A, B, C, D for segments.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're talking about that the whole time.
The whole show.
I hear NHL radio.
Yeah.
They're not happy.
They can't be.
Let's go now to Lethbridge. Here is Joel. Hello, Joel.
We're going up to Moose Jaw.
All right, Sault Ste. Marie. Here's Jacques. Hello, Jacques. How are you? Jacques in Sault Ste. Marie. How are you?
Okay.
How are you? Out to the Labrador Coast.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
All right. Okay. That's phenomenal.
Victoria, B.C. Okay, Joe, go ahead, Vic.
Winnie and Whistler, what's up?
Winnie and Whistler.
Go ahead. Thoughts on the left wing, okay? All right, go ahead.
I'm dying now. That's so good.
That's the best.
You and your hockey talk, okay? You and your hockey talk, okay?
It's the best, man.
I want to play that again later. I didn't hear it until you guys started playing it, but that's just funny.
I mean,
that's funny.
I just was trying to equate that to other sports and how that would work, right? I mean, that guy, Hall of Famer or not, that reporter is pulled into a side room and scolded, right?
Probably.
Bears?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That's Sox?
What you said. Would you love it. Yeah, you can't say pissy to one of our guys like that,
mm-mm.
But it is funny as hell.
You want to hear it again?
Yeah, play it again.
Lots of reasons for why the Oilers are playing the way they are in terms of winning and losing. What do you think is the number one reason for the losses now? Is there one thing that you, in your own mind, you're saying we got to get better at that?
Yeah, we have to get better at everything.
Would you like to expand on that?
Nope. You can do that. You know everything.
Why are you so pissy, Leon? Why are you so pissy?
I'm not. I'm just answering your
question. Yeah, you are. Whenever I ask you a question,
I gave you an answer.
Not very good one.
Okay.
I have one more for you. Leon, you show your frustration on the ice last game against Ottawa. Is that a good thing when you show it so the other team knows you're frustrated?
Yeah, it's a great thing, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Good.
At that point, he's pissed, too. I don't blame Leon Draisaitl. Ottawa.
Yeah.
This is what they're arguing about at Edmonton. We can't figure out who the Bears are going to hire, but up there they're worried about the six-game losing streak.
Right, exactly.
Well, that's big.
It is big.
It's huge.
You got the two best players in the league, and they can't win. It's like, are you kidding me?
That Connor McDavid
is—he's unbelievable,
insane,
unbelievable. But they can't win games. It's crazy.
That's a fine.
Is that me again?
I think that's you, good kid.
Every damn sound I just had off.
Click this out.
It's starting to drive me a little bit crazy. These
that's
damn
a fine.
Phones.
Why are you so pissy, Yurko, hey?
Because I'm upset at this damn
so
thing.
So pissy, eh?
I want to chuck it.
Why are you
window.
So pissy?
I'm not.
I'm not.
That's a permanent soundbite on the page now. Why are you so pissy, eh?
By the way, someone had a suggestion.
What's that?
During crosstalk, why don't Hoodie and I take you guys on in an edition of the game?
Oh, yeah. I'll do that anytime.
Oh,
we haven't played the game in forever.
Danny doesn't want to write it anymore. Remember,
yeah,
you
Danny
kept complaining about his
how much before
now.
Danny moves into his executive suite and forgets about us.
He can't waste time.
He writes one more game.
What band did he always play? He always kept playing the same band.
Radiohead.
Oh, you went crazy.
You went nuts. How many times can we play Radiohead?
Yeah, Offspring.
I think you and Miller would be great, Cap, at doing the game. It'd be great.
I'm ready.
No.
You and Miller would be great.
I am ready.
I will not participate in that.
Danny, random question. Go! Cooper Cup answer.
Not doing that.
Cooper Cup question about the Oilers, Danny.
You know everything.
That was the
I'm
old,
ready.
That was the old show. Hmm?
I'm ready.
I'm here for bread and circuses. I'm not here for that thinking after 10 o'clock.
Bum. Yeah. Which member of the Oilers?
He's an absolute bum.
Go ahead.
Organization.
Asa Tikkanen, I'm done. Go.
Did they X off on the Stanley Cup ones?
Oh, Peter Pocklington's old man.
Peter Pocklington's dad. He put his dad's name on one of the years, and they said, no, you can't put your dad's name on there. They had a bunch of X's through it.
Oh,
it's like Sid Pocklington.
Right, like they don't take the plate off.
Well, eventually they get removed, but you're right.
Yeah, each year
all they did was
goes.
It's literally, if you look at the cup, you see X, 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 X. Over Peter Pocklington's father's name.
Was how about our esteemed video coach? What'd they do there?
Oh, I don't know. They should X those off, too. Maron.
Oh, I know they got his name removed, is it X'd over, or did they pull the plate off?
No, they probably X over it.
X it until they get it
until the plate naturally comes off.
Yeah, each year one level
is removed. It's not even each year, is it?
The subsequent amount of years,
right? Exactly,
where they add and push,
right?
And
exactly,
push.
and then they put those rings that they retire off of the cup in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
they're in like the vault room in the Hall of
Next
Fame.
Next question, Carr.
About the Oilers.
Anything? Who? I'm ready.
You already answered Esa Tikkanen for one.
Yeah, well, listen, it's how I roll. I was anticipating what your question
was. Who is their goalie during the dynasty?
Grant Fuhr,
baby. Boom.
Simple. Andy Moog, back up. Go.
That
was good.
And they hold on.
Who was their goalie in 89 when they won it? Without Gretzky.
Hold on.
Without Gretzky.
Pelle Lindbergh.
Well, that's Philly.
No, stop it. Would it have been?
That's Philadelphia.
What do you mean?
Come on, Carm.
Jeez. Wow. Who
in 89?
Was it Grant Fuhr?
You know what? He started more, but Grant Fuhr might have been in between the pipes for the cup.
I think it scored Dinsky.
Billy Ranford.
Spot.
Bill Ranford.
Oh, yeah, Warren Skordinsky. Very good.
I like that, too, by the way, Hoodie.
Skordinsky to say.
Skordinsky.
And he holds on. Scoreless after one.
Yes, Randy.
Mike Thomas no longer works here. Enough with the hockey talk. Can we move on to
why
are you so pissy?
I'm not. Why are you so pissy, Randy?
Hey? I mean, geez, Randy.
Why don't we talk a little about the game last night in Welsh Ryan, which was a fantastic game.
Fantastic.
Man.
Made free throws. Are you kidding? It was like watching
a game.
It was like getting my teeth pulled the last minute of that game. I watched the Badgers in Northwestern.
What happened at Welsh Ryan?
Watch Loyola.
The Badgers... They missed, like, at one point, they missed 5 straight free throws, I think. It was way too close.
They did.
Yeah, it was bad. And they're a good free throw shooting team. What happened? That Johnny Davis can play, though.
He is. National player of the year right now.
Yeah, he can
what a player.
Cap, your national champion finally had a win last night. Congratulations. Over 500 now.
Who's his man?
Michigan. No, he picked Michigan to win the national championship.
Oh, Michigan's struggling.
They're struggling.
I think their young guys just aren't living
I
up to the hype.
I hope they go into Madison and beat your ass. Then
Listen,
you're ripping him. I saw
I didn't
Duke
rip him. I was giving him a compliment.
There was a backhanded little shot.
It was. Speaking of pissy, you see how pissy Coach K was after they lost last night? He's miserable.
I saw it.
He's just miserable.
He's just trying to get past this season, to get through it.
Is he done after this year?
Thank God.
Did you read Tyler's tweet about him last night?
What did he say? Tyler's a
He got a ton of likes on it, too. It was very funny. I'll read it for you.
Did he rip him? Did Tyler
he
rip
did.
Him?
Oh, yeah. Good. Tyler's not a fan.
So they need to get... Who's the Canadian reporter? What's his name?
That would be Jim Matheson.
Jim Matheson. Get him at the FSU Duke game last night. Say, hey, Coach K, why are you so pissy?
I'm not.
Why are you so pissy?
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. I'm a leader of men.
No, you're not. You're pissy, eh?
Would you like to expand on that?
Coach K's just miserable. It's like, be done with it already.
Why is he so miserable?
Oh, my God, the look on his face.
It's cranky.
These kids are storming the court, and they're going to
hurt somebody.
They're going to hurt me. I'm old and a weasel.
Chicago's on.
Yep. most certainly is.
Yeah. How about that? The two coaches back-to-back for Duke are Chicago guys, because Shire's already been named his replacement.
Shire's the replacement.
You want to tell that story about Shire?
Uh-oh.
Which one? where he could have been coaching here.
Yeah.
Where could he have been coaching? DePaul?
DePaul. He finished second to Tony Stubblefield.
He finished second? I mean, like, he...
Yeah, and a month later, he got the Duke job.
Are you telling me that he would have come to DePaul?
He would have taken the job.
Wow.
That's a true story.
How's Tony Stubblefield doing, by the way?
Not bad. They're okay.
They were good in non-conference, right?
He is latoing his way through the season.
Latoing his way through the season.
The strong non-conference.
9-0 in the non-conference.
Right in the toilet.
Tony, didn't they beat Seton Hall, though, right? They at home?
Seton Hall.
And they lost to Loyola in the non-conference, who's really good.
Loyola's good, though. Right?
You know who's playing? USC's playing pretty well, right, Hoodie? Didn't they have a couple of back-to-back wins?
Three in a row. Got to play tomorrow against Northern Kentucky.
Hoodie will be on the call.
All right.
Highland Heights, Kentucky. Northern Kentucky.
Northern Kentucky.
Are you on the road for that one?
Ultimately, Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
He's on the road called the Pavilion. Credit Union One Arena.
Yeah. Yeah. Highland Heights, Kentucky, which is Cincinnati.
Yeah, that's basically Waddle's old backyard. It's Waddle's
pretty much. It's Cincinnati.
DePaul is a ninth in their respective conference, and they're 1-5 in the conference. So,
Lato's his way through
9-1 in the preseason, and now they are getting it kicked in.
Doing what Cap used to do, stack up his non-conference.
Yeah,
stack up the non-conference.
Load it up, baby. We had to get paid. Oh, we would go Northwestern to Wisconsin to wherever.
Sacrificial lamb.
You guys are 0-4. Yeah, well, we just brought $200,000 into the athletic department.
Don't be crying. I mean, really.
It's a good team. I like DePaul, but that Big East is just...
The Big Least.
Yeah.
Not the Big Least.
Who else is struggling? Patrick Ewing and Georgetown. They're not very good. They just got...
It's tough, man.
They're winless in the league, and they just got drilled at St. John's.
Nobody's been able to really copy what the old man did at Georgia. I mean, for a little while. For a little while, they had a good run.
His son went to a Final Four, right?
They did. I think he did. Didn't he go to a Final Four?
They lost to Ohio State, I think.
Yeah.
They may have.
But they, like, it's tough, man. Nobody's been able to replicate it like the old man. That's hard.
Rest in peace. He was amazing.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yes, he was. Big John?
He was a good dude. I liked him, too. I used to see him because he would travel with the team when his son was the coach.
Yeah.
And he'd sit on the – I sat next to him on press row at Allstate. Nicest guy in the world.
And people don't know what kind of a sports fan he was. You know, he was doing daily talk in D.C.
Yep.
And he'd be there with Rick Doc Walker doing the shows. And you see him at the Final Four, right? And they give him a special chair. Big John.
Oh, yeah.
And we'd be doing our broadcast at ESPN 1000, and, like, we could see him across the way. And, he's got the mic on his chest, like, I think this Nationals team's going to be pretty good this year.
Brent Harper's pretty good.
I like this lineup. And I was like, dude, it's Big John breaking down the Nationals.
That's right.
Like,
towel over his shoulder.
Let me tell you something about this Nationals team now. Watch him. They're going to be good. I like their 1-2-3 in the lineup. Like, John.
I like the special chair.
He's breaking it down.
It's like the Phil Jackson special chair.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit wider in the seat, a little more comfortable. Accommodate those hips.
And I saw him. We were at a dinner. It was Bill Walton and John Thompson speaking. And I went up to him. It's like, John, great speech. He goes, you could be one of my sons. He could, grab me by the chin. He could grab me like, you could be one of my kids. Let's do a blood test.
I can tell in the jowls.
It's like he grabbed me by the face.
You know, he was drafted by the Bulls in the expansion draft in 67, 66 from Boston.
I did not know that.
Do you know the Bulls also drafted Carl Lewis?
I think I did know that little piece of trivia. They used to do like 8 rounds of the NBA draft. Can you imagine?
Correct.
Carl Lewis.
Yeah.
Carl Lewis.
Yep.
Anyway.
Take us out here.
All right, boys. Long jumper. See you tomorrow.
Time to go, guys.
All right.
Triple jump your way out of here, guys.
Why don't you come do stats for me at Valpo tonight?
That's not going to happen.
Get you 50 bucks.
No. Thank you. Get one of the kids from Valpo University there who's a youngster trying to get into the business.
I just thought maybe it would be something to broaden your horizons on college hoops.
Cap, I think they'd be more than happy to do it for free for you, just for the
I would just like the opportunity to have you having to be masked courtside watching the game.
That wouldn't happen.
That's not happening.
That's not going to happen. By the way, you're in the great state of Indiana.
Have to do the game in masks.
You can leave your masks at home.
No. We have to broadcast with them.
A mask?
I'm sure.
That's brutal.
That's not an Indiana edict, I promise you that, my friend. It's got to be a conference edict.
That doesn't sound like Indiana.
It is not a conference edict.
It's not an Indiana edict, I promise you that.
No. It's not.
It must be a university eating.
Yeah, yeah. There's no COVID in there.
You don't go there for the great thinkers, that's for sure.
Wow. All right, Hoodie, I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, man.
All right, Carmen Yurko next. See ya.
See what Carmen and Yurko are talking about on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bears continue their coaching and GM searches. Bulls try to snap a four-game slide tonight. Those are the hot stories, my friend. We're going to be with you for the next 2 hours. Big special guest at 11 o'clock. You don't want to miss.
Great guest at 11 o'clock. I mean, special beyond special.
Yurko.
Some would say otherworldly. That's how great this guest is going to be.
I agree with you.
Yurko, I'm excited about it.
Is going to settle up his wager for charity with Dr. Andy from Evergreen Kia. Too. You guys, they battled out weeks 1 through 18, folks. And it was a battle.
18, it was tied going into week 18.
I mean, come on.
So whatever. And we went a special 8-pack winner. Whoever won the 8-pack, and Dr. Andy happens to win the 8-pack, which means I've got to go ahead and give a little money to Ms. Recordia. And that's the way it works.
Well, that's good. That's his charity of choice.
As a season-long bet. Tied going in.
Look at you.
I ended up sub-500 for the year.
Did you?
Sub-500 for the year.
Yeah.
Dr. Andy was over 500 for the year.
Just a little bit. Was he at 53%?
No, I don't think he was at 53%.
Yeah, and then he lost the juice.
He just
lost a little bit.
He lost a little bit of juice. That's all he ended up losing over the course of time.
If you could get to 53, you're good to go. You're golden. The odds couple had a big week last week for the Super Wild Card weekend. You're not going to want to miss this Friday show. As we try to nail down some winners for you for divisional weekend. Randy Merkin's been hot lately.
Yeah, I had two winners over the weekend. And Carmen, can I just give a quick shout-out to Tim Doyle's son?
Yes.
I think he goes by Chicago Joe Doyle.
Yeah.
He went 6-0.
Against
the number.
Now, is he picking these games?
Well, Tim will say, Joe, who do you like? And then Joe gets... So, I mean, yeah.
That's what I'm saying is there's
No, Joe's picking the games.
Joe's picking the games, yeah.
But is there some sort of analytic breakdown?
No, he just...
I mean, it's not like you, Carm.
Yeah, I mean, no one's like you,
Carm. You've got 40-some-odd years of experience.
Yeah. Boy, look
Chicago,
but Chicago Joe is nailing it. And he's been good all year.
He's got a knack for it,
6-0.
He just started.
I wonder what the system is.
I don't know. 6-0, though. That's impressive.
6-0.
Could be a vibe, minor vibe in the morning. He might have a pet turtle that makes the picks for him. We don't know what the method of the madness is, but the madness is the proof is in the pudding.
Can I tell you, I picked Georgia. I bet Georgia to win the national championship. I think Laura Rutledge tweeted out, I think it was her baby, or she puts the two helmets down. Her baby goes running up, whichever one she grabs the one, and she was at that point. She was 11-4 on the year, and she picked Georgia. I'm like, you know what? I'm in. Yeah. So I bet Georgia just on that.
It's like the octopus picking the stocks, right?
Squid.
Whatever the squid
shoots the ink at, boom, that's the one, right?
The squid, the octopus,
all types of it. Says Sammy the squid,
the paw, the hook,
getting it done. Yeah,
Sammy the squid.
You know.
Bulls have a good game tonight against a fast-rising Cleveland Cavaliers team. The Bulls are completely decimated by injury right now.
They are. Are we getting our guy back?
Lowry's back tonight, Caruso. I'll tell you that.
Are we getting Caruso back?
I don't know. When is Caruso coming back?
I think there's a chance he may play tonight.
Correct.
I mean, what Caruso going on with an ankle, a knee, a hip? What do we have?
Caruso's injury.
Hair follicle challenged? What happened? Infection?
It's got nothing to do with the hair follicle.
One of his hairs? What happened?
On top of his head, I'll tell you that much. I'm blanking on whatever Caruso's original injury was.
I don't know, an
ankle, a calf, about a hammy.
Talking about a month.
He's missed about a month. Yeah,
a month of Sundays, Carm. This is ridiculous.
I told you. Look at the stats when he's on the floor and when he's off of it.
Caruso is listed as probable tonight.
That's
probable.
Good. And I don't remember what the original injury
foot,
was.
It's a foot listed as a foot injury.
Foot could be a Liz Frank type injury.
Paw.
Plantar fasciitis. There's something else
we've
got to address.
Their defensive metrics without him really fall off a cliff.
They need, they need to play better.
He's pretty important. Yeah. And Derek Jones is out. You know, they've got all these miles. And Zach LaVine is out. And Lonzo Ball right now is out. So it's a lot of injuries. The accumulation of all that has led to, unfortunately, an ugly look on three national TV games in their last four, and they've basically been blown out of every one of them. I mean, they were not really in much of the second half at all. Well, certainly they weren't against the Nets last Wednesday night. They weren't much on the holiday on Monday against the Memphis Grizzlies. The Grizz kind of put it in cruise control in the third quarter. They were from about the, I want to say, the five-minute mark of the first quarter on Friday night. And I was at that game against Golden State. Yeah. They were terrible. They were just never really competitive in that game.
They weren't good, Carm.
It's a bad look. So but when you're missing this many players, right, it's significant, and I think that's what they're chasing right now.
Maybe they're not as bad as they look right now. They weren't as good as they looked, you know, previously.
Well, you're
so
probably
going
right.
to find a happy medium somewhere, right?
Yeah. They are a front-page story right now on TheRinger.com. The Bulls.
But they're 2.5 games out of being in the seventh seed. Mm. Or maybe the sixth seed.
Boy, that's kind of crazy, isn't it?
It
is. Isn't that a punch in the face? They're still the number one seed, but they're that close to the number six seed?
Yes. You've checked that out, haven't you? There's wow. actually teams with more victories. But because the games are at a disparity.
Yeah, the Heat have one more loss.
Right.
Yeah, the Heat have played more. The Heat have more wins, but the Heat also have one more loss.
There's five teams at 27 wins or more.
Do you know that the Cleveland Cavaliers have already bested their preseason win total? We're not even at the All-Star break. If you bet Cleveland
they're
over,
already passed it.
If you bet Cleveland over, you are a happy kid. It's like one of those over bets where it's the half and you've already hit your bet and you've won. You're like, I won.
What was the Bulls' mark last year? I mean, it's not like they're not that far away. What'd they win, 30-some-odd games last year?
Off the top of my head, I don't recall.
Yeah,
but they played a truncated season, too, last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got 27 wins, the Cavs.
Who's the coach? Did you mention who the coach is?
J.B. Bickerstaff.
J.B. Bickerstaff is?
Yeah. Okay. 31-41 last year for the Bulls.
31-41, thanks.
In 72 games.
Yes,
31-41. So they're at 27 right now.
But the Cavs, for the first time, sans LeBron James in 20 years, are like all of a sudden a relevant story. I mean, think about the two times he left them, just how bad they were. Remember Dan Gilbert's letter in like 2010 about how we're going to win, we're going to do that? I mean, like, think about how just god-awful the Cavs were for like that four-year run. Because, yeah, you lose LeBron James. The last year he was there, I think they won 66 games. Now they fizzled out in the playoffs, but they were like a 65 or a 66-win team. And go look at that roster, by the way. You want to be impressed? Go look at that roster and say, how the hell did they win 60s? I mean, I know LeBron's good, but are you kidding me? You talk about a guy doing it by himself.
Was that Dellavedova's team, too?
No, Dellavedova wasn't there yet. Dellavedova, I feel like, was part of that second incarnate.
Run.
Yeah, that's
that more of like
run.
Was that more of like a Mo Williams, Booby Gibson?
Good call. Mo Williams, like an aged Zildrunas Ilgauskas.
Yeah, Ilgauskas.
Yeah, Booby Gibson.
Was Varejao like, there yet?
Yeah, Anderson Varejao. Yeah, it was like, oh, my God, it was brutal. And they somehow won almost 70 games because of LeBron. Then he leaves. Dan Gilbert writes that letter. And they're just awful. Then he goes back. And, of course, they go to four straight finals. Then he leaves and they're awful again. And now for the first time, they're like actually a story. They're like a big, fun, young, competitive team that there's no way anybody could have pegged for 27 wins already
before the
deadline.
And isn't the kid from Bama out for the Colin Sexton's out for the year, right?
Colin Sexton is out for the year. So they lost one of their best scorers. And they're still just like kind of rolling along. So another pretty good test for the Bulls tonight. But the story on The Ringer is all about what the Bulls should do at the trade deadline. If there's somebody to add that makes sense, who it's going to be to help them, you know, really compete in the Eastern Conference playoffs this year. And we've talked about it now for like a month, and we're going to continue to talk about it over the next couple of weeks. What are you comfortable with them actually giving up if they want to hit the trade market hard? You know, the name now that everybody's falling in love with. And I caution fans, not because he's not playing well, he is, not because he's not going to maybe have a long career in the NBA, because he probably will because he could score. But don't fall into the trap thinking that suddenly there are all these untradeable, untouchable assets on your roster.
We've done that. And
we've done it. We've lived it.
We've seen the results of it. Yeah, Markkanen, untradeable.
Omar Asik, untradeable. Yeah. Get out of here. Yeah. And now the name is Kobe White. No, you can't trade Kobe White. I disagree.
Yeah.
I disagree wholeheartedly. If it nets you something that you feel that it specifically addresses a weakness, a need on your team that is going to help you get better.
Do you have repetition at the position? Is there repetition at the position that he plays?
Like, I don't know what he plays. He's a combo guard.
Are you getting, though? Do you really have the sense or feeling that the Bulls would be adverse to trading Kobe White? Or is that just more a fan base?
I think it's a fan base thing.
You know,
they're happy. He's a fun player to watch. But truth be told, I don't think Coby White is getting in the way of any type of trade they want to make.
Mellon, I'm more addressing the fan reactions, but you're right. I've heard that a lot here all of a sudden. I heard it a lot Friday, thinking, well, you can't trade Coby White now. No, you can. Absolutely can.
The question for me would be Patrick Williams and Io. Those are the two guys who I think would make you pause.
If you're more really willing to hold on to Io.
Of course. Yeah. No, I don't think anybody in the league. Am I crazy? I think almost everybody in the NBA would be asking for Io over Coby White. Am I wrong there? I know Coby White was much higher pick, but Io as a rookie, what he's shown you?
Yeah. I think if teams are going to be picking up the phone when AK and Eversley call, they're going to be more asking about Williams and Io than they
are. Yeah, and if you want a difference maker, if you're the Bulls, those are the players you have to ask yourself, are you willing to move?
Yeah.
And me as a Bulls fan, I'm a little more reluctant to trade. Maybe Iowa, not as much, but Patrick Williams, I don't really want the Bulls to trade him. Do you?
Still something intriguing about Patrick Williams. I think there's always something when an organization makes the big kind of changes that the Bulls made bringing in this new regime, and that new regime, you know, is tasked with rebuilding things. Their very first move, like their very first big move, their pick, I think it's very hard for them a year and a half in to be like, yeah, we're going to trade you. I think it'd be almost impossible. And I'm not saying that that's right or wrong either. You might not want to be that myopic on it when you're, you know, looking at these big picture issues. But I think it makes it very hard for AK to probably sign off on any trade for Patrick Williams. He was their guy. They took a little bit of a risk when most people didn't think he'd be drafted fourth overall. They identified something and they said, no, we're kicking this off with Patrick Williams. And limited sample size or not, like, I think it makes it hard for any organization, any regime to a year and a half later be like, yeah, we're going to include you in a trade.
Colby,
so those other guys would be much more willing.
Colby, you don't mind. So Io or Williams of the two, you're saying
Who
do you want to keep?
Patrick Williams.
Right. You don't have any bias either, but you'd think Patrick Williams is a more upside than Io.
I think so.
Okay.
Although, man, I got to love Io. Who doesn't at this point?
You don't mind Coby White walking out the door.
No,
that's not a problem at all.
You know, like, it's great to see him playing well and to be playing with confidence. That's fabulous. But don't make the mistake that Bulls fans and that the old regime, quite frankly, fell into far too often.
Right. Nobody could ever be moved.
Right.
Ever.
No. That player's untradeable. No, that untradeable players don't really exist. there are very few untradeable players. And I got news for you. You don't have too many of them. There are very, very few of them. So who makes sense if they're going to go out there and tap into this trade market in the next couple of weeks? Because they're going to need some reinforcements, let's face it. And, you know, with Durant being down now with a knee injury for 6 weeks, like everything, every one of those moves makes it a little bit more attainable in a sense or interesting when you talk about what teams are going to look like come the spring and how the Bulls are going to be able to compete in the East. 312-332-3776. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko
on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
We need to do a better job of archiving, saving things for posterity's sake, because we can't find Yurko's NFL preview from 2021. I've got my sheet. I said sheet right here.
Well, if you remember, this, it dawned on me now. The last day I was here before the Delta variant came down was on August 13th.
So where's your sheet?
After the 13th, I was banished from the building until September 20th.
Got it.
When I came back in, I got the Johnson & Johnson.
Thanks.
Yeah, the Johnson's baby powder and the Polo. Yeah, I'm telling you which one I got, the Polo Cologne. And so I came on the September 20th. I was back. So my list is probably at the house.
At the house?
Right, because that's where I was doing the show from.
I've got my list, man. I want to go over it. See what we got right and what we got wrong.
I am excited about this.
Do you know who I picked for MVP, Yurko? Do you remember? He's not going to win the MVP.
You picked for NFL MVP Joe Burrow.
I picked Patrick Mahomes.
He's not going to win.
It's going to be Aaron Rodgers again. You know who I picked for Defensive Player of the Year, Yurk?
T.J. Watt.
He's going to win it, I think, right?
I think so.
I picked Myles Garrett.
Miles Garrett was the leader most of the year.
I know, but T.J. Watt's going to win it, right?
It's a lock, yeah.
You know who I picked for Offensive Rookie of the Year?
Offensive Rookie of the Year.
I love him. You probably know. Remember I kept talking about him?
The receiver, Ja'Marr Chase.
No. Najee Harris. I picked Najee.
From Pittsburgh, yes, running back.
But,
yeah.
I mean, Jamar Chase is going to win that. I'm 0-3.
Wow.
You know who I picked for Defensive Rookie of the Year, York?
Defensive Rookie of the Year went to...
I went off the board a little.
The kid, the cornerback in Surtain.
That's who's probably going to win it, right?
No, Micah Parsons.
Parsons.
Oh, yeah,
Parsons. Parsons is a lock.
Guaranteed.
I picked Jalen Phillips, who had a nice year, but he ain't going to win it. He'd probably finish... He certainly finished behind Surtain and Micah Parsons.
Right.
Parsons is unbelievable.
Micah Parsons is going to finish top five for defensive player of the year.
I would think he might finish second behind T.J. Watt.
I think kid from Cleveland will finish second.
You think Myles Garrett will finish? He really tailed off in the second half.
Is Parsons right. Number 11, undoubtedly.
Yes. Parsons 11, yeah.
Oh, boy. Was he confused. He was confused.
It's the Niners. He was, Niners.
Yeah. He was confused.
I didn't know what you meant. You meant Sunday?
No. Yeah, I meant played the Niners.
I know the
confused.
One play. I know the one play, too, you're thinking about, right? When he was running in the other direction. Yeah.
Caught in the wash.
I'm trying to remember if I remember. He's was like, it a running run. Play and he got caught? He just got caught in the misdirection?
Yeah. Deebo Samuel was running in the opposite direction, and it was the misdirection that caught Micah Parsons, and he was going in the opposite way.
He's not the only one. Yeah. I mean, what they're doing with their offense, and Yurko and Waddle talk about all the time, the shifting, the formations, the
you said
motion.
Shifting, right?
They got a lot of people confused. Nobody knows what the hell's going on.
Can I ask you a quick question? Part of the reason Dan Quinn now is a hot commodity again is they said the work he did with Diggs and Parsons. Do you think, Yurk, that is on the defense coordinator for molding those two guys?
I'd look at it as the linebacker coach, really, the one that's responsible for getting them kind of in the right direction, and then the coordinator for putting them in a position to make plays.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. Like, your position coach is important for that. Last time I looked at this, it was probably week 16. Right. So maybe he didn't finish the year, but he's going to be close. Do you know who gave up the most yards in coverage this year in the NFL?
It was Diggs, right?
Trayvon Diggs. Like, and I think by a mile.
Like, he gave up over 1,000 yards.
So, and not that the interceptions are great, but are we sure 11. Trayvon Diggs is like, he's not... Like
they're not going away from him.
I was going to say, I mean, he's not like prime. Who's the island guy we used to always talk
Deion
about?
Deion Sanders?
Revis.
Well, not
Revis.
Yeah, forget him. I've never compared anybody to Deion Sanders.
Revis Island.
Like, he's not Darrell Revis in his prime or Patrick Peterson in his prime or Jalen Ramsey right now. He gave up, I think, by a wide margin, the most yards in coverage in the NFL this year. Like,
he's a product of the opportunities. They're throwing at him a lot, and he does at times take advantage of it. So there's value in that because if you can turn an offense over, especially in this league where it's harder to get stops, there's something to that, but he's certainly not close to like the best of
the league. But we know those ball hawking things, you know, like we know the negative
when you got 11
variance sets in and the regression that sets in.
So this is where your PFF would come in to find out. Here's a guy with 11, looks like he's the top, you know, defensive back in the league. Now let PFF attack and look at all the statistics afterwards.
Right.
You know.
See what the grade looks
like. How many times was he thrown at? How many catches were made? How many yards they had? And you've already said he had the most yards thrown against him by a wide margin.
Yeah, I think it was a pretty wide margin.
What's the percentage?
He has taken the ball away a lot the last couple years, though.
What is the percentage of completion against him?
By the way, allow me to derail you for a moment. After 1 year, can we just go back to numbers? I'm sorry. Micah Parsons being 11.
Oh, that's crazy.
Cornerbacks being 1-2. I've got Von Miller as 40 as an edge rusher.
He's 40.
My head's spinning. I don't know who's supposed to be what position.
We'll get used to it, though, don't you think?
No, but here's the thing. You won't get used to it. Yurko, back me up here. You won't get used to it because there's no defined position for numbers.
You don't. When Palomalu was coming in off the edge, I knew who he was because he had a 4 there. I knew he was a safety. He wasn't a linebacker. If he wore number 6, he'd be like, what the hell's going on over there?
Dude, you think Brady was right in the offseason when he was complaining about it?
Well, he just
wanted to be... But in college, we don't make a big deal. Is that because we don't pay as close attention in college?
He's got 30 minutes to identify. He's got 30 seconds to identify the defense and who's who. By numbers, it's easy. When he starts seeing different numbers, now he's got to retrain his brain. A brain that's been trained for how long?
That's true.
Long time. Now you've got to rework it in that melon of his. That's why he was complaining. I got to do this all over again.
And it does suck for a quarterback because essentially then you have to memorize the roster, not the numbers anymore. And you have to do that every single week. New opponent, you know, unless they're a divisional opponent.
There were a few times like after the trade where, because Meller said it, so there were more than once where I kept going, wait, who's 40? And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's Von Miller.
I mean, it's just, it's crazy
it's
insane.
Crazy. I finally got it, but it took like 3 or 4 weeks of like, you'd watch the Rams, and I'm like, wait, who? Oh, yeah.
See, 40 guy's good.
It's Do you guys remember like, when Ocho Stinko? Do you remember when Ocho Stinko wanted to become Ocho Stinko?
Yeah.
And they wanted to charge him because they were going to have to change the jerseys?
Yeah.
They wanted to charge him.
Yes.
Now the NFL took that and the principle of, oh, you got to charge a guy because he's going to change the jersey because you've already got inventory out there and you'd make that inventory null and void. They went from that stance to, oh, just do what the hell you want.
Oh, my God.
Like, and I don't mind.
That's so funny.
I don't mind so much receivers having single digits. That's fine. But it's really on the defense.
On the defense, it does,
with
make,
me,
yeah, it does make it confusing a
Who's
little
17?
Bit.
Who's 17? Oh, he's a cornerback.
Yeah,
what?
You're like, wait, what?
So I'm 0-4. Listen, I knew who number 4 was because if there's a missed tackle out there, it was Eddie Jackson.
Poor Eddie Jackson.
Yeah.
That's true. So I was 0-4, and then I'll be 0-5 because coach of the year, I went with Arthur Smith. He ain't winning it.
No.
Who's going to win that? Matt LaFleur, the favorite?
No,
who's
it's gonna win that? Tennessee. Vrabel.
Oh, Mike Vrabel. Yeah, he's the Vegas favorite.
He's big-time favorite now. Yeah.
Tennessee whiskey.
That's a good call. Everything that they lost.
Yeah. And still get the number one seed?
Yeah, they're the number one seed. I mean, maybe that's a product of just the down AFC this year, but still to lose, you know, probably Derek the player Henry. That's more important to that offense than any other player in the league.
Except that he plays a running back.
I know, other than like Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady. I mean, I get it. That's true. But like from a position, skill position.
How
Europe,
valuable
like,
is he if you lose him and you still win? Thank you.
They lost A.J. Brown. They lost Julio Jones. I mean, like, they played huge stretches without those guys. And they're the number one seed. So, yeah, Vrabel probably win that. But my Super Bowl's still alive because I picked Packers-Bills for the Super Bowl. So that one's still alive. Yurko picked Packers-Colts.
Indianapolis, yeah. My Super Bowl is dead. Thank you for bringing that up.
We got more football to talk about. If you want to talk Bulls, too, like if you think they should explore the trade market and who's available, who should be, who shouldn't be, 312-332-ESPN. Hub and Cap on Cap's NBC Sports Show. We're talking about Jim Harbaugh yesterday. I want to play some of that for the audience. And then don't miss our special guest at 11. We'll be right back.
I think he's a bum. I think he's an absolute bum.
This hour is brought to you by Twin Peaks, the ultimate sports lodge. Happy hour is back. It's back, Carm.
Yeah.
Get to Twin Peaks Monday through Friday from 2 to 7 and score sweet deals like $1 off all wine, liquor, cheap shots, and freezing cold 29 degree draft brews.
Get Carmen and Yurko Pods on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
5 hours of happy hour over there at Twin Peaks, Merck. Not just one happy hour.
No,
that's a great. Right?
Yeah, five happy hours.
Let's go to FedEx Herald and Skokie. What up, Harold?
What's going on, guys? So I have a perfect trade for us to go get Carl Anthony Towns, man. I feel like that kid is young, and I think he's hungry. And with this Bulls, you know, looking like they want to win this championship, I will give up Vucevic and Kobe White if I have to, you know. And another player that keeps coming up in my head is also Sabonis, you know. And, yeah, throw in Kobe White, probably Derrick Jones Jr. And if you have to give up Patrick Williams, hey, go for it. But I mean, this team's hungry, and they want to win now, man. And since we do have a good record right now, and if we do go after Carl Anthony, I could see that like future plan with him staying us for a while with, you know, Zach LaVine. But just want to get your thoughts on those trades, man. Thank you.
Thanks, Harold. Carl Anthony Towns, man. Like, I've always liked him. I always wonder though if he's just kind of a stat collector up there and. Minnesota, that's a team that's played a little bit better than maybe people thought. They've kind of hovered around 500.
Right, you want a guy that wins.
He's still got a lot of years left, I think, on that big contract.
Do you know what I mean? You want a guy that wins, not necessarily that scores.
Yeah, just like a stat collector.
Right.
Yeah, which kind of feels like, I don't know. I mean, he is impressive.
You would know better than I.
He's got a great skill set. I mean, great for his size, be able to shoot it away from the basket the way he can. And just, I mean, he can really just naturally score. I don't think they're making a move like that. I don't think they're making a move like Sabonis. I don't think it's going to be a move like Towns. I think they were maybe interested in Miles Turner. He got hurt. I think it could be someone like Jeremy Grant. It's going to be a deal like that. Maybe Harrison Barnes.
Yeah.
Because he can shoot it, and they could use just one more shooter. I think that would be good for them, the way they play offensively. Dre's on the south side. What up, Dre?
Yo, what's up?
How you doing, man?
I'm in your...
What's up, buddy?
How y'all doing?
Good.
Yo, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Y'all took me by surprise. Hey, Honestly, I got a good question, though. I'm a novice bettor, and I was just hoping that you guys can, like, clarify some things for me. Because I'm trying to win some scratch this weekend.
Right, go ahead.
All right, I just got one question. Okay, like, I'm looking at the line right here. It's saying Cincinnati and Tennessee. Now, it got the +3.5 for Cincinnati and the -3.5 for Tennessee. What does that mean? So that means that the Bengals are the favorite?
No, that means Tennessee's the favorite. They're the ones laying the points. When the team that's got the minus next to them is the favorite, okay?
Okay, so the team with the minus is the favorite. So now, if I pick Cincinnati to win that game, they got to win by 3.5?
No,
not if you're betting with the spread. They could lose by 2 and you win.
Yes.
See, that's the point. They could, if it's 3.5 and Tennessee kicks a late field goal to win the game, you win because you're getting 3.5 points. Got it?
Oh.
There you go.
Okay.
That's it, my man. Dre, make some money, Dre.
I like the direction he's heading there. He's thinking about Cincinnati and the points.
Dre's a... I got to do a little bit more work on that game. That's all I'm going to say.
All right, you're going to take some time.
It's a perfect segue into Dr. Andy. I rewatched Bills Chiefs from Week 5 last night to try to start to work on that game. I got some thoughts on that as we go on through the course of the week. Boy, they really frustrated Mahomes, man, in that game. So Allen was fantastic. Good segue into Dr. Andy. Yurko and Dr. Andy from Evergreen Kia spent the entire year, weeks 1 through 18, going head-to-head each and every week.
Each and every week.
Picks for charity.
After week 17, it was tied. Dr. Andy's charity is Misericordia. Mine is piratesforkids.org.
We love it when you guys do this stuff for charity. Dr. Andy's on the line. He was the winner. We talked to him in week 1. He made it to week 18, and he is the winner. You are a king of the hill, Dr.
Congratulations,
Andy.
Congratulations, Dr. Andy.
Thank you. How are you guys all doing today?
Good. We're fantastic. I hope you had a good last week, too, in wagering.
Oh, yeah. We didn't do too bad.
Nice.
We had a lot of fun through the year, man.
Was Yurko a formidable opponent?
He was very good. I think he let me win at the end there. I don't know why.
I started 0-6 is what happened. I started 0-6, and I was chasing Dr. Andy the whole year. Mm. I caught him twice, tied him twice, but at the end of the day, every time my head surfaced above water, I went right back underneath, and that's what happened in week 18. I went underneath. Dr. Andy had a +500 weekend. It was over for me.
Did you have a better pro or college year, Dr. Andy?
I started out good with the college. It helped me out, but then I lost my way somewhere in the woods on the college.
Yeah, he got ice cold 1 week. Ice cold. He went 1-6 and let me right back into it.
Lost my way in the woods.
It's bad. It's bad sometimes.
1-6, you came right back with a strong week.
Yeah, I was 5-1. He was 1-6. And the next thing you know, we had troubles.
It's damn hard, isn't it? Especially in the NFL. Yeah. I'm telling you, it's hard.
You know what? There's so many different upsets this year. Nobody really stormed out and ran away with everything except for Arizona at the beginning, and you see what happened to them at the end.
The dogs were
and he had his teams too, man. And when he bet them, he loved the Rams. I mean, I can't tell you how many times he was on top of the Rams.
Yeah.
He loved his Rams.
Yeah. I hope you're on the Rams this last weekend. That was an easy cover.
Yeah,
the Rams were easy, and Buffalo was super easy.
Well, listen, Dr. Andy, I owe you $5,000 to Misericordia. Obviously, you're going to give me a shot at this thing next year, I hope.
You guys going again in 2022?
You know what? I was actually thinking, why don't we both pick a game? We'll go double or nothing this year.
Double or nothing this weekend?
You're putting him on the spot. I feel like we're on the back
Dr.
nine
Andy,
in Caddyshack here.
I'm going to give Dr. Andy the first shot at it. Go ahead, Dr. Andy.
1,000.
Go ahead. Double or nothing. I'm ready.
I just didn't know if the upper above's would allow anything like that.
Well, listen, the upper above.
Could I have 1 second just to talk about your charity?
Absolutely.
I don't know much about it, but I'm sure if you're involved with it, it's a great thing. My charity, which is Misericordia, and Sister Rosemary, if you don't know much about it, has been there for many, many years. Lois Gates, Kevin Connolly run it, and they do a great job. The residents of Chicago that have mild to profound development disabilities are taken care of and participate in everyday duties with working, cooking, painting. They have a kitchen there. They do painting. They do all kinds of different stuff. So it helps everybody to have a good life.
Cool.
And my thoughts were, it's all for charity. We had a lot of fun. I'd like to do the double or nothing to get the big $10,000.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Hey, listen,
we'll talk to the powers to be, and we'll set it up for Thursday.
We'll talk to
the powers to be. We'll set it up for Thursday.
Greg Morin upstairs.
His wheels are spinning.
By you. I don't know, but you know, I had another idea too. Seeing that this is all about charity, and that's the main thing. So everybody's a big winner. My other suggestion, if you didn't want to do the double or nothing, because right now I'm hot as a match, you might not want to try that on. But what I was thinking is maybe you don't give your charity to $5,000, and I'll give my charity to $5,000, that's so nice. We're all big winners.
Now everybody wins. There's nothing wrong
Coach
with that.
Ditka, you know what?
Coach Ditka for 20, 30 years has supported Ms. Recordia like you wouldn't believe, too. So we know how important it is.
There's really, really a lot of people. They just built a brand-new home in the last 10 years, and they just were able to open up their own coffee shop the people that live there work there, and it's going to be right there at 63rd and Ridge.
That's great.
So stop in and have a coffee. But anyhow, my thoughts were to double or nothing, but I think maybe the best thing is, seeing that it is for charity and everybody would be a big winner, you could lay your $5,000 to your people, which I'm sure is a great, great cause, and I'll throw my $5,000 to my charity, and everybody's a big winner.
Sounds good, Dr. Andy. We appreciate it, all right?
No problem. Thank you, gentlemen, so much for taking my call. And, hey, you guys call me anytime if you want a quick pick, you know?
Thanks, Dr. Andy. There's our guy, Dr. Andy from Evergreen Kia.
This is breaking news. Real quick. On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
I think this might be the first callback interview, right?
Yes.
Matt Eberflus.
Per Ed Werder.
Per Ed Werder. Thank you, Meller. Matt Eberflus, who is the DC for the Indianapolis Colts, is getting a second interview with our beloved Bears in Lake Forest. So I do believe that is the first official callback. This will be the first second interview, and it is going to Matt Eberflus. 312-332-3776. We'll be back in 2 minutes.